Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome back to the next episode of the City Confessions. Today I'm actually recording on a Thursday evening at 8 p.m. So this is a first for me, but I have a feeling that this is going to be a fun episode. Today's guest is Dr. Jennifer Tsai. She's a Manhattan-based optometrist who specializes in comprehensive eye health and vision. And she recently opened a Line of Sight Vision, which is a modern eye care studio and optical gallery. So if that's not impressive enough, she's also represented by Wilhelmina Models. So hi, Jennifer, how are you?
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, it's really late, but I understand that your schedule is so crazy. So I'm just so appreciative that we were able to schedule time to chit-chat.
Yeah, I mean, we've been trying to meet up for a while. We both live in the same city, but we used to always, I guess, travel a lot and we don't see each other, but this is actually a great way to really, you know, chat and conversate what's been happening this year. So I'm excited.
Yeah, same. So why don't we begin by having you introduce yourself to the listeners and tell us your background, your relationship with New York City, and about your passion for optometry.
Yeah. Jennifer, I actually grew up in Alexandria, Virginia. I went to school at UVA in Charlottesville. So I went to optometry school in Philly and didn't really think about moving to New York. That wasn't my first place that came to mind when I wanted to start practicing. But one of my residencies ended up getting switched and it had to be in New York. And after moving here and actually living here like a local, I just fell in love with New York City and the energy and the people and all the things that there is to do and a lot of self-discovery. And so I just decided to, you know, start working here after graduating. Been here, I guess, for like maybe I would say 6 years total, about 6 to 7. But I actually moved to California for a year and a half in between, but only to move back because I realized that this is home for me. And I just love watching people sort of, you know, how diverse it is here and how people change and how people grow. I just think it's really interesting. So I practice optometry. I opened up recently a cold start practice. It's just focused on modern wellness and eye care health. So the space, most of the stuff is focused on advanced technology. And we also do eye exams and specialty treatments like Ortho-K. And we sell frames and lenses from independent like luxury boutique lines. So that's been exciting.
Yeah, that sounds so awesome. Yeah. It's funny because I actually obviously don't know any other optometrists. So it's really an interesting field and a very niche. Yeah. So can you tell me where that passion come from and how did you decide that this is the field that you wanted to pursue?
So in college, I was like, okay, I want to be in healthcare because I enjoy helping people. I just didn't know what exactly I wanted to do in healthcare. So I followed a bunch of doctors and different specialties. Nothing really felt right. And then one day I just had an eye exam at the doctor's office and the optometrist noticed that I had a huge like retinal hole, retinal hole. What that means is the tissue where all your like rods and cones and blood vessels are in the back. It's really delicate. And so if you develop a hole or a tear or detachment, you can lose your eyesight. So obviously that was a very frightening experience, but also very eye-opening, no pun intended. But he just was very like caring and very compassionate and very empathetic and just I could tell that I was very genuine, and it was something that I would want to hopefully embody when I have a career. And so I just started shadowing a bunch of optometrists, and they were all the same way. They all loved their jobs. They're all very, very happy. They had a great schedule, and they were just very balanced, you know, doctors and professionals, and it just seemed and felt right. And so that's what made me decide to go into optometry school. And I guess the second component afterwards is I realized how fun it is, because it's not just healthcare. It includes entrepreneurship. You can open up any type of business that you want related to optometry, like your own practice. But also it involves fashion, because you have eyewear and like sunglasses. Mm. And a bit of fashion has a play in it, which is very rare in healthcare and other specialties. So I think those are the main reasons why.
Right. And it's interesting because you obviously have a public image, mm-hmm. and a personal, obviously, Instagram page. So how did that come about?
So I started actually was a travel blogger, surprisingly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, I was a travel blogger like my last year of optometry school. And then while I was working the first couple of years, even in LA and New York, I just did a lot of traveling. Just my schedule allowed me to be able to do that, which is another nice thing about being an optometrist. You can pick and choose your schedule. And I had the freedom to. So I worked with a lot of like hotel brands and tourism. And then I guess maybe 2 years ago, I just kind of decided to start sharing optometry. I honestly never did in the past because, I mean, things are changing more and more each year as, you know, we become less conservative. But that was only 2 years ago, but I felt like people were just very, you know, judgmental. And if you're a doctor, you should look and talk a certain way. And mm-hmm. Why are you traveling so much and things like that? So it's just more, I realized after a while, it's like, you know, it's just, I'm putting self judgment on myself. It's fear of what other people think. So I shouldn't care. And if anything, maybe other people relate to me, other women, maybe in medicine or in like a professional field. So I started sharing optometry, and since then it's been growing, and I'm really glad that I decided to add that sort of dimension to my page, because I think it makes it more, you know, authentic and unique and relatable, in that you don't have to just be one thing, which has always been something that I'm, you know, passionate about sharing, that you can be a doctor, but you can still enjoy fashion or modeling or starting your own career or business on the side too.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I actually don't remember the time that I followed you, but it probably had to have been when you were still doing strictly travel, because yeah. That's my main field. And it was funny because I remember, like, you know, we started to connect a little bit on Instagram, and I was like, wait, has she always been a doctor? Like I was a little confused.
Yeah.
But I guess it makes sense because you started to share more of it.
Yeah.
And I actually had a previous guest on my podcast. She's a nurse, mm-hmm. but she's also a Playboy bunny. So it was really interesting. Yeah, it was very interesting. And she was telling me her struggles with exactly what you said, you know, having this image of, you know, what a nurse should be or like what a doctor should be. Because at the end of the day, you're still human. You have other interests. Like what I've learned recently is that you are not your job title.
Of
like
course.
You are so much more.
Right.
So, yeah. And then do you think, because again, your field is has more freedom,
yeah.
in terms of not only what you do, but like you said, it branches to fashion. Do you think that, do you struggle with posting certain imagery, or do you kind of like don't care right now?
I mean, yeah, I still do. It's still, even though I tell you this, it's not like, you know, I'm not like a different person. It's just, mm-hmm. I am more comfortable and okay with sharing things, because ultimately it's, you know, it's really you, you know, that feels that way. It's more self-judgment. So, I mean, some things I hesitate on, like sharing like bikini photos or mm-hmm. Like crop tops or party photos. But I realize it's a balance, you know. If your page is always showing that, then the message gets mixed. But if it's here and there, I don't think, you know, it makes you balance and it makes you human. So sometimes I do, but I think less so, because I know that it's really showing the right intentions and being yourself, really, just being honest.
Mm-hmm. And do you think social media has helped you gain clients at all in the business sense?
I think so, but it's also hard to tell, because patients don't always necessarily mention that when they come in for an exam. But I guess what I think of social media is I think of it more broadly, like when you have a social presence, just an online presence, that makes a big difference. So I think it's kind of like a resume. I tell people it's like your online resume. You're not handing out like your resume to people these days on paper. Anyone who, if they're looking for a doctor, they can find your information by typing in your first and last name on Google, and they see everything about you. So I think social media does play a part, but it's one tiny piece of a bigger online presence, mm-hmm. but that contributes to everything as a whole. So for sure, definitely social media has helped, but I think having things like a Yelp page or like a professional site or like sock doc reviews and stuff like that, it really helps to contribute to the bigger, I guess, image of it all. So yeah, I think so. I don't exactly know how much, but I'm pretty sure it does.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then tell me about your, I guess, modeling career. Do you do that on the side, or how does that fit in?
So that I just started recently, actually like a month or two ago. They reached out to me and wanted to schedule a phone call. And then, you know, of course I was like ecstatic. I'm like, oh, hello, that's insane. Well, yeah, of course. And it's just a whole new experience. I think in the past I've done some stuff here and there. In like the, I guess you call it modeling or influencing world. But now that they're introducing diversity into it all, and bringing in different people, maybe that they don't normally, you know, would have, I think that's amazing. I think it shows that there's diversity and that you don't have to be, you know, people just have like this view of models are tall, over, you know, like 5'8" to 6' tall or whatever, and they're super skinny and they're 21 years old and they're Caucasian, but they're never Asian. So it's like breaking sort of all these stereotypes, I think, is the amazing part that means the most to me. And like, I never thought that I would do that, you know, after going to optometry school. Am I going to go, you know, work with an agency and within the modeling world? But I think it's pretty neat that, that there's other doors and opportunities that you can go down.
Yeah, I'm actually so fascinated by you right now. I feel like you have so many layers, and I think that's so exciting. That's one thing I love about just New York in general. Meeting people is interesting, and I love how we all come from different walks of life and different backgrounds, and yeah. Everybody has a story to share, which is why I was like, oh my God, I have to have her on.
No, I'm sure you meet a lot of interesting people during your podcast too.
No, it's been great. But I'm curious to know, how do you balance your time? Because I know, obviously, from my own personal experience, carving time to just create content is, you know, one part of this whole industry, but then also being active on Instagram and engaging. And I know you are a doctor, you are a businesswoman, you obviously have a personal life. So how are you balancing everything right now?
Today, we got home at 8. Okay, so in like the bigger picture, I think I'm really, one thing I know what to do is to set a pause, like when I need to. If I know like mentally I'm capped out, I just tap out. I don't keep going. I just know that about myself. So I know how to like stop when I need to, or else I know that I would have a breakdown if I didn't. Right. So I think mentally my body knows how to tell myself to stop, but I just try to prioritize what's most important first and then try to layer stuff after. And I think, I guess like, for example, like photo shoots and stuff and like social media, getting those images taken like all at once so that you don't have to, you know, do it all over again. Mm-hmm. Has helped me. I know, like, for TikTok, those videos take forever to do.
You're so good at it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I'm slacking off on it. But yeah, so that like takes a lot of time, in, especially like you're trying to learn some dance, right? So like it's impossible. So I try to do it all in one day. That way you get ready all at once and then you record all at once and then you edit clips after you're ready to post that day. So you have it all saved. And that's kind of what I do. In terms of like the practice, I mean, that's just harder right now because it's a complete brand new practice that opened. And during a pandemic, there's so much delays and like construction is not exactly complete in the front, but I'm still seeing patients already. And it's been luckily busy. Like I've been seeing a full schedule, even though we're not fully open, but obviously it makes me tired. At the end of the day, I don't have enough time for myself, but I think once this is all said and done and systems are in place, I think, that's where the balance comes back in. So it's like, sometimes I put in hard work now for maybe an extended period of time. But once you have systems in place and things run more efficiently, then obviously you have more time to balance it all. So I think knowing how to put in systems in place is important.
And obviously you opened this during the pandemic, but has this idea been in the works for a while?
I guess it started in construction started in December, January. But basically, since the beginning of last year, the idea came about. Finally, found a place in June of last year. You know, signed the lease in the fall, and then started construction December of last year. So you know, this December coming up will be like a full year of actual construction build out. It's been insane. I never thought I'd open a practice, a brand new practice, and design it exactly the way I wanted it. And also during a pandemic, right? So like, it was just a lot. But it's also like very rewarding because I learned so much from all this experience, and to know that, you know, like we'll make it through, even though the times are tough right now.
They say that some of the most, like the most popular businesses and ideas are happening or happen during crisis. So
I agree. We haven't changed too much. It's not like the place changed too much from the original idea. It's not like we knew the pandemic was going to happen either, but we built the space because I like going to an office that feels clean and modern. I like to see a doctor that is, you know, educated and has like technology there to use, and I like a space that feels like wellness. So it's just more like, if I were a patient, this is what I would want. And that's how it was built. And then when the pandemic did happen, it's like, well, luckily the space was built big and super clean and super modern so that it wasn't a problem to begin with, luckily. So we just had to implement things like, you know, making sure that we social distance people and that we, you know, I mean, that's pretty much it. Offer like PPE and like sanitizer and stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually on the Instagram page now, and I love the design. It's definitely my type of vibe. And I was wondering, did you design this by yourself?
No, we have an architect team. So okay. I thought I didn't at first, but then looking back, I'm like, thank God, I had no clue. Like, I can't imagine. You know, you can know like how you envision it and how you want it to look, but like when it comes to like materials and details and like designing a floor plan and like knowing what color goes with what palette and what materials, it's just like, it's not as easy as it looks. So I'm so glad that we hired like an architect team to carry it out. But a lot of like the ideas and the layout, like the layouts. I was a part of it.
Yeah. I mean, like the photos themselves make me already like motivates me to like go in. You know, it's one of those things where you're like, oh my God, I want to like be there.
Yeah.
Because it's true. A lot of the eye glasses places or I don't even know what you call them, what the proper term is, but like studios or just offices are very like definitely not that welcoming. And you feel like you're getting your eyes checked. Whereas this does have that wellness and almost like spa, like very inviting aura. So yeah. And where in New York is this located?
So the store is located on 29th and 10th Avenue. So it's basically across the Neiman Marcus Hudson Yards vessel. where mm-hmm. the fashion shows, was the fashion show was supposed to be, I guess, in the mm-hmm. shed?
Or right. yeah. yeah, around that area, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, by the High Line too.
I've been writing tons on my laptop recently.
Yeah.
And I was getting these like eye strains, and I was like, oh my God, I'm in this groove. Like, I yeah. really want to write and continue, but I was like, oh my God, my eyes are literally hurting. And yeah. then once I went on it, I was like, my friend was like, you know, you need those like blue filter like glasses. And I was like, oh my, I was like, you're so right. This is so weird. I'm going to talk to, you know, like a friend, yeah. and she's also like in this world. I should ask her about it. So can you tell me more about these blue light glasses and why it's so critical in this day and age?
Yeah, so the carrot eyewear I started more like a year and a half ago. And it was more like an e-com product. So the glasses are just being able to provide trendy but affordable blue light protection glasses that are kind of fashionable that you can wear like over your contacts when you do work. So that way you can take it off when you're done, or maybe if you think they're fashionable enough, you would just wear it to happy hour and see your friends at the same time. I feel like a lot of glasses, they either for just something that you're keeping as an accessory by your desk, computer glasses, they either end up being too expensive and you have to go get it personally like made, or you buy it on Amazon and you don't know if the product's even safe or if it's sketchy. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of that. And I think, you know, because it's doctor made, I think obviously we're sourcing from a material lens quality that's much better. And just being able to provide that to people, the clientele or the demographic, it's more for, you know, like people who are younger, you know, young professionals who do work in front of the computer that just simply need something on the go or just to keep around their computer desk, and they put them on so they it relieves like digital eye strain and fatigue, and also to prevent insomnia at night when you look at your phone.
So I need to get myself a pair so we can chat afterwards.
You know, let me know what your favorite style is.
Yeah, I really do need one. I'm not even joking. Okay, so in saying all of this and all that you've accomplished, when have you felt the most challenged?
The store opening this yeah. these past 3 weeks have been, I know how to, I'm used to putting in work, but this is a different type of work. This is new things are like social media. If you don't do it a day or two, it's okay, you know, mm-hmm. or if you have a e-commerce store, it's based on whenever you ship the order. Once you have everything set up, it's easy going, right? It's just, someone purchases a frame, you have designs, and then you ship it. But with a store, you're interacting with patients, and each patient is different, and each need is different. And then there's you also manage much more, like many more employees. And so I think there's such a bigger dynamic to that that is sort of harder to control unless you have a good system in place. So I think because it's just open too, it's been a lot of like, you know, like moving stuff around, and construction is still being done in the front of the house while I'm seeing patients in the back. So mm-hmm. I think that's been the most challenging part, like navigating insurance companies and making sure you provide like the best customer service while the store is still getting fully built in the front, while you're making sure that you're keeping up with all the like back end stuff of like, you know, helping patients order contacts for glasses and fitting them. It's just like I think physical retail is pretty challenging in the beginning. Well, I'll follow up with you in a half a year and let you know where I am at that point. But at the start, it's been pretty tough.
Yeah. Well, on the flip side, I was going to ask you, when have you felt the most proud? And I don't know, do you think that opening this studio, I know it's not 100% done, but does this rank as one of your, you know, biggest achievements?
Yes. I guess the harder it is, the more it doesn't always have to be that way, but it's definitely more rewarding because you can watch something grow. And that's pretty neat to be able to watch something like an idea grow, you know? And I think that like having other people involved in it too is amazing because you can see how it changes over time. And I think that's the exciting part, like having patients experience it and then having them say they love it in person. It's just, I think on a deeper level, it's just more impactful. And being able to see how their vision improves and seeing them in person and seeing how excited they are when they see better is quite, I guess, rewarding. So I would say, both the hardest and I guess biggest achievement would be opening the store. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's super exciting. I think in the beginning, yes, you obviously have so many little obstacles along the way, but I'm sure it's just that little bump in the road. I think once you get things grooving in the move and after the pandemic, it'll just basically run on autopilot.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Yes, it will happen.
Well, I guess since I'm on podcast, if there's anyone we're looking for a receptionist.
Oh, okay. So, yeah.
Put it out there.
I will mention that in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
And one question I ask all my guests, I feel like you already answered it, but I'll just ask it anyways, just to keep it consistent, is what keeps you up at night? Obviously there's a pandemic, but you are also in the middle of opening a business. So I'm assuming, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that basically on your mind every night for the past few weeks?
At night, like what keeps me, that like gives me insomnia, like have a hard time.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily like it can be metaphorically.
I guess like right now, if you're asking me like in this moment, I guess the next, what's on my mind is, oh, do I have everything prepared for the next day for the patients? Because I'm like, oh, make sure we have all the insurance information pulled up and we have everything ready to go. So it's smooth sailing right now. But I guess prior to this, it was just been like, you know, I don't know. I fell asleep pretty easily. I think I'm partially narcoleptic. I think it's just like making sure I like have a habit of checking my phone and making sure like I have everything when I really don't need to. I should probably just save that sometimes for like work hours. And like having a need to like making sure I'm caught up with work and everything's in place. It's probably a bad habit that I do at night when I should just go to sleep. And so maybe I guess scrolling social media too.
Yeah. And are you a morning person? Like, what? Tell me about your morning routine.
I'm neither.
Okay. Get up when you have to, like, go to work.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'd wake up, I guess, at 8 or 9, 8-ish. Right now, like, patients get there by 10 is the goal. So, like, I would normally, like, I have Peloton, so I'd work out or do yoga in the morning and then go to work. So during, like, the pandemic, I was actually working from home. I was doing virtual video calls with patients, and so I would see patients and then like finish early. But now I would just wake up at like 8, maybe I would like cardio and then get to work and technically be at work from like 10 to 6 or 7 and then finish.
And you live in the city, right?
Yep.
So this podcast is called The City Confessions, and the reason why is because, as I mentioned, I'm a native New Yorker, and I am always fascinated with people that I come across, people that I don't really know, just the energy. And again, I really believe that New York wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for the people. Mm-hmm. So I also believe that everybody has a story and somewhat of a secret or a confession. So if
what's my confession?
Exactly. If you were to share your confession, what would that be? And it could be anything. It could be something silly. It could be something that's a little more serious. Or maybe even something that, you know, people don't really know about you, or maybe contrary to what you do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sure there's deeper stuff than this, but it sounds silly, but I just turned 33, and that for me, like, age has always been, you know, as a girl, as a woman, you're like, you don't really like want to, after a certain age, you're like, kind of birthdays, just, you don't want to share it, you know? But then I was like, well, I did share it this time for the first time, how old I was, because also my friend bought me all these balloons and it literally said 33 and I could not hide 33. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to post it. This is one of my own fears again. I'm just going to do it. But so that's something, I guess, that was more of a secret or that I'm confessing to my age. Not a big deal, really. And then I guess the second thing is I think a lot of people, maybe if they don't know me, they think I'm like, I forgot. And I think they tell me stuff like, oh, you seem stuck. I don't know if they use stuck up as the right word, but.
Off-putting or like, or maybe, let me try to, I don't know. Like in a bad way though?
Just like, yeah, but, and I can't think of the word right now. Maybe because I like blocked it out of my memory, but they meet me afterwards or like they talk to me like, oh my God, you're so chill. Like you're actually really warm or like nice. And yeah, it's not what I expected. You're like down to earth. Yeah. Down to earth is what they were surprised. Yeah. They didn't think I'd be down to earth. When they see my page.
I get that a lot too, though. I think everybody has it's also whatever they say about you is what they're projecting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that could be it. Good point.
Yeah. So, I think it's hard to, I guess, differentiate your public image and who you are, because while I would hope that, you know, you and like a lot of people are being authentic or trying to be, at the end of the day, it's only a version of who you are as a whole. There's just no way for you to put yourself out there 100%.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree. And I love your page too. You're always sharing like things that you're going through and pretty authentic stuff. I mean,
I don't know how long you have been on Instagram, but I've honestly had my account since it started, since 2011.
Yeah.
So like, obviously I'm growing as a person, and I actually used to be like super private and really never shared any of my personal life until maybe the past like 2 years. And I was scared to just like, it relates to you, you know, sharing your age. Like I can relate to that, you know, just like little information about yourself where you start to question like, why am I so, you know, afraid of that?
Yeah.
You know, it is part of who I am. It makes you unique. And even your decision to share what you do full time, I think is so admirable, because as the industry has grown, we've also have all come to realize that what separates us are these qualities, right? I mean, they always say the best way to brand yourself is to say like, I'm X, Y, and Z, and I do this as well. So yeah. I cannot say that I know somebody who is an optometrist and a model and an entrepreneur and a businesswoman. And that's what makes you so unique and you stand out in the market.
Thank you.
So I've been learning to kind of own not only your traits, but your past and basically your story, you know, own your story because you're the one writing it.
Yeah, exactly. It feels good. It feels relieving, right? So, No, I think just like you, I agree. And I think it helps you, like you grow as a whole overall. And I think that, yeah, obviously social media, you always want to share your best parts. So that's why it's kind of feels like relieving when you can also share bad things too, right? So that's the fun part about it. Do you also do, I know you do your podcast and you do travel. Do you do anything else for work?
This is my full time. And then, sometimes I will like consult with brands on their, you know, social media strategy and just like what they can do to improve on their, public image, or I have a PR background as well.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Any of that whole, like marketing, PR field, I consult sometimes.
That's awesome.
So it's a little bit of everything. Yeah.
That's cool.
But let's bring it back to you.
Yeah, I'm looking at your face.
What is the best compliment you've ever received?
When someone says you have a kind heart. Yeah.
And do you find that mostly in person, like with your patients, or is this more in your personal life with your friends, family, or both?
Personal life, yeah. I think it means a lot. And I think that that means you've been a good person, and people recognize it. So I think that would be probably the most meaningful.
Right. And I feel like I would be doing a disservice to my audience if I didn't ask you for your professional tips on how to, I guess, limit screen time, or maybe you can explain why it is so bad for our eyes, and just maybe like, I don't want to say like life hacks or like eye hacks, but simple ways for us to take care of our eyes during this time.
So everyone should just have a yearly exam. I think people just assume their vision's fine, but they don't drive a car in New York City or anything, so they don't realize. We also check for health and disease, which is really important. A lot of eye disease is progressive and gradual, so you wouldn't know when, you know, you're young, if you never check. And the second thing is having screen time, I guess, breaks. So every hour, taking a 5-minute break to actually look out the window at things far away or walking around. And a lot of people just end up looking at their phone, which is probably the same thing or worse. So I'm taking breaks at the computer desk, making sure you always wear sunglasses when you're outside to prevent like sun damage. And blue light, computer glasses like Carrot Eyewear, the company that I have, it just helps to prevent like eye strain and light sensitivity, and to filter out like the blue light from the computer screen and digital devices. And I guess the last thing would be to make sure you have a clean, healthy diet. A lot of green, dark leafy vegetables. It's going to help keep your eyes healthy in the long run.
And are carrots really good for your eyes?
That's
why you named your eyewear carrot,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's more of a pun. It's good for slightly night vision. It has carotene in it, vitamin A, but it's healthy for your eyes, but it doesn't make your vision like sharper or clearer. But right. That is like funny to like, you know, make it a pun about, because people think carrots are for your eyes.
Healthy for your eyes. Yeah, I hear that all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
So I just want to take a moment right now to just thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to come talk with me. I think from just doing this for the past a little over a year and a half is that when I get a guest to agree and basically essentially like two parties say yes, it's something that I don't ever take for granted. Mm-hmm. And it's like pretty late. So I know that you're tired and you probably have better things to do, but I just wanted to take a moment right now to just honor your presence and just let you know that I really do admire you. And I think what you're doing is badass. It's so cool and different. And I honestly can't wait to actually get together and meet you in person.
Yes, me too. I'm so happy that you contacted me, and I can't wait for, the time that we meet. We can actually catch up in person. And I'm really appreciated that you had me as part of your podcast. It's an honor.
Yeah. Well, two more questions before we actually wrap it up. Sure. I mean, it's pretty easy. So the second to last is basically what you're up to, but you kind of alluded to this with your studio. So this is your chance to basically plug away if there's any other secret projects that you're working on. Basically, what can the listeners be on the lookout from you, Jennifer, within the next 3 months, within the next year? What does 2020 have in store for you? What does 2021 have in store for you? What can you share?
I'll probably have an actual grand opening sometime soon in a month. So keep a lookout for that at Line of Sight Vision. And then I think maybe having probably be sharing some new like eyewear and more stuff like that. And I'll probably be hosting like wellness events and like evening events with like other influencers in the space once, you know, social distancing is not a big issue. So I guess be on the lookout for that too.
Awesome. And the final question is, what is the one thing you love most about yourself?
Everything.
God, yes. No, you cannot be just kidding. First of all, whenever people say just kidding, they like don't really mean that. They're kind of like,
mean it, but you asked me one and I was like, okay, everything.
Can I tell you that I love that response? Because there has been multiple times where I ask this question. I love ending my podcast on a high, on a positive note, not only for my audience's sake, but I really want the guests to, you know, do some self-reflection and to compliment themselves, because I don't think we do this enough. I can't even tell you how many times people find that question uncomfortable and they don't know what to say. They take a while, and I'm like, that should be easy, you know? And I always say, no, I know you have a whole list, just name one. So I think your response should be, is brilliant. And I think more people should adopt that mentality.
Oh, thanks. It's on the other extreme, but yeah.
I know, in a way. Okay, but no. Can you name some traits though, or just like more specifically?
I think my passion. I find passion in everything that I do. So I think that's unique, in a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I would say that.
I mean, if it wasn't for your passion, I don't think you would be where you're at today. Everything that you're doing and have done, you can tell that the core of all of these, I guess, avenues have been your passion, whether it's for helping people, whether it's for optometry, whether it's for the wellness and just serving others. I can, you know, without even meeting you, I can tell that's your purpose and passion. So it's great.
Thank you.
So thank you again for hopping on, and I hope you guys all enjoy this episode. This is also your reminder to get your eyes checked, and I will leave all of Jennifer's information in the show notes. Make sure you follow her and her studio and Carrot Eyewear and all the amazing stuff that she will be launching soon, and I hope you guys have a great day and stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.
Thank you. Bye.